Our most loving Father and our gracious God, as we gather again around the throne of grace this Lord's Day morning, our most loving Father, our most gracious God, we pray that Thou will be with us this morning, that there will indeed be a wonderful sense of Thy presence. Pray indeed that the Lord Jesus, the only head and King of the church, will be one of our number. Gracious Lord, our eyes will be fixed upon Him, that once again today we shall see no man save Jesus only. Lord, put the blood upon the meeting. Gracious Father, shut us in with Thyself. May the blessed third person of the Trinity, the eternal Holy Spirit, help us now in the ministry of the Word, the exaltation of Christ, and in making much of His precious blood. Lord, we ask these things in Thy name, always for Thine eternal glory. Amen. Our text of Scripture for this morning, and indeed our motto text for this year, is found in verse 16. Verse 16 of Joshua chapter 6. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And our text for today is, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Israel, at last, was going up against the walled city of Jericho. And the sixth chapter of the book of Joshua gives us a record of how that city was taken for the Lord. For you see, while Israel were on the other side of Jordan, they could do no better than come near Jericho. Numbers 26, verses 3 and 63. They could do no better than come near Jericho. But the Lord then, of course, for Joshua and the children of Israel, divided the waters of Jordan, brought Israel into the land of Canaan, into the land of promise. Now, if Israel were to go up and possess all of the land, they must capture Jericho first. Jericho, as a walled and defense city, stood in their way. They could make no progress in the land until they had captured Jericho. Now, dear child of God, we all have our Jericho. We all have those Jerichos, as it were, that hinder our progress, our desire to go on with God. You and I know, and it is the teaching of Scripture, before we can progress, before we can proceed, we must see our Jerichos taken. For today, I want us to look at Jericho as a type of the place the city where the Lord has brought us to serve Him. Because as we look around us today and look at our own city, do we not see our own city like unto Jericho? It is a wall city, a defense city, walled against the gospel. It's as if the walls reach up to heaven. And we have just read in the opening verse, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. There is a great indifference to the gospel and the things of God, so that none come out and none go in. And the city is walled against the gospel. And as far as the work of God here is concerned, we must see this city claimed and captured for the Lord Jesus Christ. How can that be done? How can we claim our cities for Christ? I believe there are many precious lessons found here in this passage of Scripture. I want us first of all to consider Israel and how they compassed the city for the Lord. Look at verses 2 and 3. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. The Lord told Joshua and the children of Israel what they were to do and how Jericho might be conquered. They were to compass the city. Now before they did that, before they compassed the city, before they claimed the city, and before they conquered the city, before they compassed the city, they had to prepare. They had to make preparation. What preparation did they make before they compassed the city? Turn please to chapter 5. Chapter 5 of Joshua. We read there in chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel, until we were passed over, that their heart melted, neither was their spirit in them any more, because of the children of Israel. Now it would have been very easy for the children of Israel, upon knowing this, that the hearts of the Canaanites had melted, that they trembled before the children of Israel, it would have been very easy for Israel just to have marched against Jericho. Said, oh, we can take this city because the people are afraid of us. But that was not God's way. Neither was it God's plan. No, they had to prepare themselves, first of all. Look at verse 9. Here we have their first step in preparation. Chapter 5, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. What took place at Gilgal? Verse 2 tells us. We're told that the children of Israel were circumcised there at Gilgal. And so there was the dealing with the flesh, and there was the dealing with Egypt. And as the men of war were circumcised there at Gilgal, it symbolized the rolling away of the reproach of Egypt. once and for all, Egypt was to be put behind them. Once and for all, they were to be finished with Egypt. They had now entered the land of promise. They were now going to claim that land for God. It had been promised to them through Abraham. And so they were really separating themselves once and for all from Egypt. And Egypt in the Bible speaks to us of the world. If we are going to claim our city for Jesus Christ, before we get to Jericho, we must get to Gilgal. The place of separation. There must be separation from the world. Not only was Egypt, the reproach of Egypt rolled away, but the flesh was dealt with. So it is with us in our preparation at the very beginning and the commencement of this year. If we are to take our Jericho for God, if we are to see revival come to this city of ours, there must be a life separation. Separation from the world and victory over the flesh. How may that be done? The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 2, verse 29, the circumcision that is of the heart. Colossians 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. God's people, as men of war, for as we shall see in a moment or two, we need to be men of war in the spiritual sense if we are to take our cities. So the preparation involves separation. It involves something else. It involves celebration. Look at verse 10 of Joshua 5. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So they kept the Passover. The Passover, of course, was to be kept perpetually once every year by the children of Israel so that they would never forget what took place in Egypt when the Lord sent the death angel and slew all the firstborn in Egypt. But every home that had the blood and the lintels and the doorposts, the death angel passed them by. For the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so the children of Israel, before they went up against Jericho, they held the Passover. They celebrated the Passover. And celebrating the Passover, they were reminded again of the blood. The blood of the Lamb. It was the blood of the Lamb that saved them that night in Egypt. Dear child of God, how can we take our city for God? How can we claim and conquer our city for Christ? We will do it by the power of the blood of the Lamb. It is the blood that will defeat the enemies of the cross. It is the blood that will overthrow and render defenseless the enemies of the cross. What do we read in Revelation 12, verse 11, regarding the overcoming of the devil? In the last days, how shall he be overcome? Revelation 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The devil is busy in this town, as we've already outlined. But we can overcome him, hallelujah, by the blood of the Lamb. That's how we will take our sitting for Christ. Not only did this preparation involve separation and celebration, it also involved a revelation. Chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went on to him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? He said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Before Joshua led Israel up against Jericho, he had a meeting with the Lord. He was given a view of Jesus Christ, the captain of the Lord's host. Now we could spend quite a while looking at this revelation, but suffice for us to say that when Joshua met the Lord, he met him as a man that stood with sword drawn. Now, whenever a warrior or a man of war stands with sword drawn, he's ready for the battle. And Joshua met the Lord with drawn sword. So when Joshua led Israel up against Jericho, Joshua knew the Lord was with him with drawn sword. For the Lord is a man of war. He is the captain of our salvation. He is the captain of the Lord's host. But dear child of God, for us to take our city, you and I need a revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to get our eyes on the Savior. That's what we're saying. Not on the man or on the method, but on the Master. You remember, prior to sending his disciples out into all the world to preach the gospel, Acts 1, we're told that the Lord Jesus revealed himself unto them. In other words, before the disciples or the apostles went out with the gospel, they had a revelation of Jesus Christ, the one who had died and had conquered death and was now alive. What more could they ask for? As they went out to preach the gospel and tell people about a living Savior, if they were ever asked, Is the Lord alive? Yes, they could say. He's alive. We have seen Him. We have seen the risen Lord. So they were able to go out having feasted their eyes on Christ. Dear child of God, if we are to claim our city for the Lord, we must have our eyes on the Savior. We must have a revelation of Christ. Pray the Lord will take the scales from off our eyes, and we shall see Him, the one who is the captain of the Lord's host, and He will lead us. And we'll see the walls of resistance and indifference fall to the glory of King Jesus. That was the preparation. And secondly, we have the place. The place that Israel compassed about, of course, Jericho. city west of Jordan, 25 miles northeast of the city of Jerusalem. What kind of a city was Jericho? Must have been a very pleasant city. For if you take the name Jericho, Jericho means fragrance. So there's a fragrance about Jericho. Not only was it a place of fragrance, and a fragrant place, it was also a famous place. What was it famous for? Deuteronomy 34 verse 3 tells us, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees. That's what it was famous for. Famous for its palm trees. If you ever had a chance to go to the land of Israel and visit Jericho, you would see that the palm trees abound in every hand. It is indeed a most picturesque place and the most picturesque valley, just full of palm trees. A very pleasant place to live. Something else about Jericho. It was a fortified place. We've already noted that it was shut up against the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. It was known for its fragrance, its palm trees, and its fortification. But it must have been a very pleasant place to live. But behind the walls there was an enemy. It was a fragrant place and a famous place, but behind the walls there was a foe. And everyone can find something good to say about their own city. We can say of Port Hope, it is a very pleasant place. It's a picturesque place. But there's a foe. There's an enemy that needs to be defeated. There are souls in this town that need to be slain with the sword of the Spirit, namely the Word of God. There are souls in this town at this moment in time, on the first Lord's Day of this year, they are at this present time enemies of God, and enemies of this book, and enemies of Christ. We need to see the city taken from. We need to see men and women that are at this present time the enemies of God. We need to see them changed and transformed whereby they're made the very friends of God. Yes, behind the loveliness, the picturesqueness of the city, there's sin. There's iniquity and there's an abomination. And only the blood can change all that. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can bring about the change. Next, we have the promise. Chapter 6, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho. There's the promise. When the Lord met with Joshua, he gave him a word to encourage him. And oh, may this word this morning encourage us. And may we take this word and claim this promise. The promise the Lord has given us. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Regarding this promise, notice first of all, a vision was required. For the Lord said to Joshua, verse 2, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho. But the walls were still standing. Jesus said they were still fortified against the Lord and the children of Israel. Yet the Lord said to Joshua, look, see, I have given into thine hand the city, not only the city, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. In other words, the Lord was calling upon Joshua to look with the eye of faith and see the city that it had already fallen, that the Lord had already given the victory. He wanted Joshua to look with the eye of faith. He wanted Joshua to have a vision for Jericho. That's what we need. We need a vision for Port Hope. A vision for Toronto. A vision for Cobourg. We need a vision. We need to look with the eye of faith and see that the Lord has already given us the city. Not only was a vision required, but a victory was revealed. For the Lord revealed to Joshua that indeed he had been given the victory. Victory was already his. All he had to do was to obey the Lord, go up and compass the city, do as the Lord told him, and the city was his. Oh, let us take the promise today. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Let us look with the eye of faith. Let us see the victory already given into our hands, because there is a God in heaven. Joshua's God still lives. And what God did for Jericho, he can do for us here in our own time. My, wouldn't it be wonderful to see this time that is so hard and set against the gospel of Jesus Christ? See homes changed and transformed by the power of the gospel and the blood of Christ. And to see homes changed where before there was blasphemy, now to be turned into singing and the praise of the Lord. The Lord is able. Then you have the plan. What was the plan? The plan was revealed to Joshua on how the city was to be taken. That plan is recorded in verses 3 to 5 of Joshua chapter 6. We read in verse 5, and it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. The plan, they were to compass the city once every day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were to compass the city 7 times. The only sound that was to be heard was the blowing of the trumpets. And then on the seventh day, there was to be the blowing of the trumpets and the great shout. That was the plan, a very simple plan. But it was a divine plan. That was the important part. It was a divine plan. If the city of Jericho was to be overthrown, it could only be done God's way. God's way is the only way to victory, now and forevermore. You want to know the victory over your own Jerichos? It can only be done God's way. Want to know the victory over our Jericho and see our city won for the Lord? It can only be done God's way. When the Lord took Ezekiel, led him by the Spirit, and gave him a view of Israel, And he saw Israel as a valley of dry bones. And the Lord said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? Ezekiel answered, Lord, thou knowest. In other words, if the bones were to live, if Israel was to be delivered, Ezekiel recognized only the Lord could do it. Only the Lord could do it. The Lord gave Joshua the details of this plan. And let me just itemize the details, what they were to do. First of all, there was to be the army. Verse 3, and ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war. So there was the army. Secondly, there were the attendants, the priests. Verse 4, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. So you have the men of war first, the army went first, then the priests with their trumpets of ram's horns. Thirdly, the ark. Ye shall bear before the ark. So the army, the attendants, and the ark. Then verse 9 tells us something else. Verse 9, and the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the re-reward, or your Bible margin will give you there another rendering of the word, the gathering host, or the assembly. Those who were not described and could not be men of war, the rest of the assembly, we are told, came after the ark, the priest going on blowing with the trumpet. So you have the army, then you have the attendants, namely the 7 priests and their 7 trumpets. Then you have the ark, then you have the assembly. You put it all together and you have their activity. They were to compass the city 6 days. Trumpets were to be blown each day. Then the 7th day they were to compass the city 7. And the trumpets were to be blown every day. The people themselves were to remain silent. The ark was to be carried around the city every day. So really you had only 2 material items. No swords, no spears, no shields. 2 material items, namely the ark and the trumpet. What would they speak to us of? Let us take the trumpets. Now they were not silver trumpets. They were very plain and ordinary trumpets. They were trumpets made out of ram's horns. Some may say not very attractive. Certainly not as attractive as a brass or a gold or a silver trumpet. Just ram's horns. Now, remember, this was how the city was to be taken. Now, what do trumpets speak to us of in Scripture? Trumpets in Scripture speak to us of the preaching of the gospel. Ezekiel 33, verses 1 to 5, the Lord said that the people were to put watchmen in their watchtowers and they were to sound the alarm. When the enemy approached and the way they sounded the alarm, they blew their trumpets. That's what the gospel preacher does. He blows the trumpet of the gospel. And he warns men and women of the danger that is pending, the coming danger of a lost eternity. So they went round the city with their trumpets, plain, ordinary trumpets made out of ram's horns. Is that not picture for us what Paul spoke about, the foolishness of preaching? I'm sure the people inside the city walls wondered what on earth was going on. How could they possibly conquer our city by merely blowing trumpets? and those trumpets made out of ram's horns. And people would say to us today, how can you possibly take your city? How can you possibly change your city by merely preaching the gospel? It has been done before. God hasn't changed, and the gospel hasn't changed. So we'll just keep on blowing the trumpet of the gospel. So they compassed the city by using the blowing of the trumpets, and then the ark. What the ark speak to us of? The ark, of course, was one of the items of furniture in the tabernacle. Where was the ark placed? It was placed in the Holy of Holies, underneath the mercy seat, Leviticus 16, verse 2. So the ark would speak to us of prayer. It was, of course, a symbol of the Lord's presence with His people. But it also speaks to us of prayer. It was under the mercy seat. Each time we pray, that's where we come to. We come to the mercy seat. Now you have the answer. How is our city to be taken? By the preaching of the gospel, by prayer. That's how we win the city. That's how we shall see revival. By compassing the city with the preaching of the gospel, compassing the city with our prayers. Every day, round and round we go with our prayers. Week by week with our preaching. For you see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This book is a living book. This gospel is a living gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. What more do we need? If we have the gospel that is the power of God, what more do we need? You can't get a power greater than the power of God. And if through prayer we are told we can move mountains, then what more do we need? Notice Joshua was involved in this battle. Notice the men of war were involved in the battle. Notice the regard or the gathering host, the assembly, they were all involved in the battle. There were those who could not stand or march with the men of war, but there were those who could lend their support by coming in the rear regard, behind the ark. They were all there. You may not regard yourself as a man of war, but there's still a place for you in the battle. There's still something you can do. You can compass the city with your prayers. And what did the Lord say in verse 5? The end of verse 5, the Lord said, the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. They were all able to rejoice in the victory. Every man had a part in the victory. Dear believer, when we see our city taken for God, we can all rejoice in the victory if we all play a part in the battle. Very quickly we have how they claimed the city for the Lord. On the seventh day, when they had compassed the city seven times, the trumpets were blown and the people shouted. Joshua said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. When they did so, they were actually claiming the city for God. Notice their steadfastness. Note, they had already gone round the city six times. And what had happened? Nothing. The priests had blown their trumpets every day. 6 days, nothing happened. The people had marched around the city with the ark every day for 6 days. What happened? Nothing. It was as if they were making no progress at all. Then on the seventh day they compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. And we are told they compassed the city after the same manner. Verse 13, it just simply says that they went on and they were going on. There's their steadfastness. Even though there didn't seem to be anything happening, they just kept going on. Believer, throughout this year, as we compass the city by blowing the trumpet of the gospel, as we compass the city with our prayers, and at times there may seem to be nothing happening, let us do as Joshua and the children of Israel did. Just keep going on. That's what they did. They kept on going. What would have happened if they had stopped? The walls wouldn't have fallen. And they had to keep on going. And they kept going until the 7th March. On the 7th day. Sometimes you know the Lord withholds the answer to our prayers till the very last minute. When we're really in desperation and we wonder, has the Lord heard? We wonder, will the Lord intervene? And more often than not, He'll leave it in our eyes till the very last minute. When did the walls fall? On the 7th day, at the end of the 7th march around the city, the last blow of the trumpet on the last day of the last march around the city. But that not encourages believers to keep on going. Keep preaching the gospel. Keep preaching the blood. Keep exalting Christ and be faithful in prayer. And the walls will fall. Then you have the signal. Remember the children of Israel as they walk round the walls were not to make a noise until the last day. Then they were to shout. And the shout was a signal that the walls would fall. It came, as we said, at the very end of the 7th day. 7th March of the last blow of the trumpet. The shout of faith, the shout of confidence. Believer, when we shout and claim the promise for the Lord has given us the city, may it be the shout of victory, may it be the shout of confidence. We're confident in our God. He's able to give us the press on quickly, and they conquered the city for the Lord. Verse 20, we read, and the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat. Right into the ground. No rubble for them to climb over. Right down into the ground. There you have, first of all, the Lord's might. Joshua didn't do it. The men of war didn't do it. The priest didn't do it. The rear guard didn't do it. The Lord did it. Because only the Lord could cause the walls to fall down flat right into the ground. It was the Lord's might. Why doesn't He do all things well? And it's the Lord's might that will give us this city. You've the Lord's might and you've the Lord's mercy. For the Lord in wrath remembered mercy. For in verse 25 we read, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her whole household, and her father's household, and all that she had. Joshua saved Rahab. You could say Jesus saved Rahab. And as the Lord gives us a city, may we see many a Rahab saved. May we see many a household transformed by the grace and the power of God. Because as we noted a number of months ago when we looked at Rahab, how she had been separated from her family, but on that day they were all united. They were all saved. Joshua saved Rahab and her father's household and all that she had. The Lord has much people in this city, and it is our duty and our calling to preach the gospel to them and see them one for Christ. Give the Lord's might and the Lord's mercy. Finally, the Lord magnified. Now you'll notice something in a sense unusual in verse 19. Usually whenever an army goes up against a city or faces a foe and the victor is permitted to take the spoils of war, Joshua and the children of Israel were not to take one thing out of Jericho. They were not to claim one thing for themselves. Verse 19, but all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Everything they acquired that day was to be given to the Lord. The Lord was magnified in the victory. God sends revival to our city. God will be magnified. And that's the way we want it. And that's the way it should be. He will receive the first fruits of the victory. Let us compass the city with our prayers. We'll compass the city with our preaching. And we'll shout, for the Lord has given us. Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Most loving Father and eternal God, we pray that Thou will help us and keep us steadfast. Keep us, Lord, going on in prayer, going on in preaching. Help us, Lord, every day to compass the city with our prayers until the walls fall down. Until that day, Lord, when we're all able to rejoice in the victory because we had a part in its downfall. Oh, gracious Lord, answer prayer and keep us faithful in these days, Lord, of iniquity and apostasy and a great falling away. Oh, Lord, we pray that we'll ever stand by the banner of the cross. When there's blood stained and torn and tattered, Lord, help us, like Thy servant of all, having done all, to stand. Father, answer prayer. Give us, Lord, this time for Christ. Give us souls for Christ. Save the lost that are on the very brink of eternity, ready to fall into the bottomless pit. Help us, Lord, to blow the trumpet. Help us to sound the alarm. Help us to pray sinners into the kingdom. And Lord, we know that in all things we will seek to magnify Thy name. Lord, magnify Thy name in this house week after week through all that we seek to do. Oh, may Christ in all things have the preeminence. Lord, be with us now as we leave the house of God. As we part the one from the other, dear Lord, all who have a distance to travel, we pray that Thou will be with them, and Lord, give them traveling mercy. Dear Father, return us to the house of God tonight to worship, to praise and to adore Thy wonderful name through the preaching of the word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.